You know what they say, right? You are what you eat. Well, what if you don't quite know what's in the food you're eating? Genetically modified food is a hot topic of debate. What is genetically modified food? Is it good or harmful? Lots of questions to answer. Now, in Washington State, come November, voters will decide whether to require special labeling of genetically modified foods. Federal law does not require genetically engineered food labeling, so Washington State voters have an opportunity to decide whether or not that is something that they want. I have a panel of folks in the studio and on the phone today to discuss GMOs versus non-GMOs and legislation. I'm going to introduce them to you right now. Director of Public Affairs at PCC Natural Markets, Trudy Bialik, joins me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And also in the studio, Environmental Health Specialist for Washington State's Nurses Association and registered nurse Karen Bowman, also joins us in the studio. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
And lastly, on the phone, Eastern Washington conventional wheat grower Tom Stahl joins us by phone from Waterville, Washington. Hello, Tom.
Yes, hello there from Eastern Washington. I made it in off the tractor today, and I'm on the phone, and I guess they're hearing me in Seattle.
We are absolutely hearing you in Seattle, Tom. So thanks for taking some time off the tractor to come inside and have this important discussion with us. I'm going to start with you, Trudy, Director of Public Affairs at PCC Natural Markets. Just kind of establish for a basis here, what exactly is genetically engineered or genetically modified foods? And after that, if you can also kind of say what it is in comparison to organic or conventional.
Okay. A genetically engineered seed or food is a seed or plant or fish or animal that's had its DNA artificially altered in a laboratory with genes from other plants, animals, fish, or animals to produce some kind of a foreign compound. They are not possible in nature. That's the biggest difference between traditional natural foods, which are, you know, have been with us for millennia. These foods cannot occur except as creations from a laboratory.
And are they harmful? I mean, that's kind of a big question. Are they harmful? Why is it important for people to know for that to be on a label?
That's a question that people ask all the time. And the answer that I like to give is that there's very little research. There's a paucity of evidence. But what we do know raises a lot of serious questions.
And what do we know? Talk about what we do know.
What we do know about the properties of the...
Yes, about genetically modified food. What we do know that could be harmful.
I'll give you an example with the genetically engineered salmon, for example. The Food and Drug Administration is recommending approval of the salmon as a new animal drug. It doesn't have a framework for addressing it as a food. But it has the salmon actually has not... There is no data, actually, on two identified hazards in this genetically engineered salmon because they were only using inappropriate and insensitive tests to try and detect the properties. The point is that there's just very little research. The FDA has pointed to the research done by the company developing this fish. It has not done its own independent research. It's limited sample studies. And even the studies that have been done showed that the salmon actually had lower levels of the omega-3 fatty acids, which is what we eat salmon for anyway, aside from just liking it. But the health benefits aren't even just there.
So. Well, talking about the health benefits, that kind of brings me right to you, Karen. Talk about it. I mean, you're a registered nurse, so what is the medical field? What's their take in terms of, or not that you speak for the whole medical field, but from what your research and what you know?
Well, I do want to say I'm also speaking for the Washington chapter of Physicians for Social Responsibility because that's also an organization that supports I-522. But nurses, the foundation of nursing practice is environmental health. When Florence Nightingale, and I'm sure everybody knows who Florence Nightingale is, she used pure water, wholesome foods, among other things, to improve the health outcomes of patients. So if we don't know what that food contains, if we don't have the ability to have this labeled, how are we going to determine the toxics or adverse reactions and where they're coming from if we don't know what's in our food?
And are there any studies or anything being done to kind of try to determine some of those things?
I believe they've only done one human study.
One.
And they cut it short because the researchers didn't like the results. And Trudy can probably speak to that a little bit better. But it's the lack of research. It's the lack of testing. We need safe We need safety testing to make sure it's okay for human consumption before it gets released into the environment.
So in terms of, you know, Washington voters who are going to be looking at this on the ballot, as you mentioned, what will be on the ballot is basically whether or not Washington state voters want to require genetic labeling. So what is something they should be taking into consideration? If you had to, you know, in terms of, you know, what it is and what might inform them about genetically modified.
Well, the public, I think the majority of the public already support labeling. And I see a lot of nurses in Washington State, thousands every year, and there's not one nurse that advocates for genetically modified food. We all have the right to know. So what I would tell citizens is we don't know what it is. They really haven't done adequate testing. We want to know the safety aspects. We want to know what's going on with the food before they release it. So we need to be aware, I think, would be the main thing that I'd say to citizens.
So the awareness. Yeah. I see you kind of shaking your head. Trudy, you want to add something to that?
Yeah, it's really a transparency issue. It's just about knowing what's there. The manufacturers or producers of food have a responsibility to tell us how they're producing it, what's in the food, and you really have to wonder what is it that they don't want us to know. When there aren't mandatory safety assessments and the FDA can only point to studies done by industry and say, well, Monsanto says it's okay and safe for us to eat, but that's all we really have to point to. So it's really about transparency, and we believe that these manufacturers have a responsibility to tell us as consumers what's in the food. They have a responsibility to tell us how they're producing it and what's in it. Why don't they want to tell us what's there?
Well, Tom, I'm going to turn to you as a producer of food, as a farmer. What is your perspective on genetically modified foods? How does it impact farmers and, you know, what your livelihood is?
Yes, it would directly impact us because as a wheat farmer, I'm involved in an industry that is heavily dependent on our foreign markets. 85 to 90% of the wheat grown in Washington State is exported to other countries. And of those, the majority are labeling countries. They require genetically modified organism foods to be labeled. Now, if a genetically modified wheat were to penetrate our industry and contaminate our warehouses, our shipping facilities, our fields, we could face an economic disaster because if it goes unlabeled and that is caught, and it can be caught easily because there are chemical enzyme tests that reveal this, we could face the prospect of the ship being turned around, sent back to us with a message, don't send any more. If we lost our foreign markets, and I'll specifically name some of them, South Korea is a labeling country. The consumers there, when they're polled, have grave concerns about GMOs. They don't want to eat GMO wheat. Same thing with Japan, a labeling country. And the consumers there are dead set against eating GMO wheat. Taiwan, the same thing. These are three of our major customers. And so if we lost those markets, the wheat industry in this state would be a basket case. And that's also true with an awful lot of the other commodities in this state. I mean, this state has about a $15 billion export industry in agricultural commodities. Apples are number one, dairy products number two, wheat number three, potatoes number four. If we lost those, we would face economic ruin. So it's a very much a precautionary thing. From my standpoint as a wheat farmer, a fourth-generation wheat farmer, I'd like to keep on farming. I'd like to see other younger people be able to farm, too. And so unless we get a labeling and segregation and identity protection system in place now, before Monsanto or some other biotech company pushes into the industry and starts planting GMO wheat, commercialized GMO wheat, we could face disaster. I mean, if that got mixed in, you know, and was sent back, and our industry was shut down, it would be bankruptcy all over Eastern Washington.
Talk about the impact of the Monsanto decision. I mean, how does that kind of impact this discussion around GMOs?
It kind of takes us on a journey here. In 2009, three wheat farmers, Lynn Paulson, Joe Ludeman, and I, we read an article in Wheat Life magazine that Monsanto was buying a company in Montana called Westbred with the stated aim to create a genetically modified wheat. And then, you know, we thought, uh-oh, that's bad news. But then later that fall, we read in the same magazine, October 2009, that all of the Japanese millers had come to San Diego for a meeting with U.S. wheat associates. So we saw that Monsanto's trying to push into the industry. The major Japanese millers came to San Diego to meet with U.S. Wheat Associates and said, hey, in effect, we think we've heard you're thinking of dancing with the Monsanto devil, so to speak, not exact quote. We wish you to take the end users' concerns into account before you do that. That's pretty direct for Japanese. And finally, they got very direct. They said the Japanese market will not accept genetically modified wheat. So what we as wheat farmers realized is we got the, you know, irresistible force, Monsanto, trying to push in. The irremovable object, our customer, saying no, and here we are in the middle. And we could be destroyed if those two collide.
Treaty I'm
So what we decided to do is take action. Before there's a GMO wheat, we began our petitioning process, just a petition of sentiment to the industry. Our first one was a petition to save Eastern Washington farm markets by stopping GMO wheat, and with no money and no advertising, just with friends, family, putting them out in a few stores in the region, we got 1,000 signatures. And so we sent those off, sets of those, to the industry, National Association of Wheat Growers, U.S. Wheat Associates, politicians, and so forth, and got back the thunder of silence. Nothing. They didn't respond at all. So we thought, what are we going to do? We got to get their attention. So we came up with another idea. Just these three farmers sitting around, you know, the farmhouse with a cup of coffee in our hands. We better try labeling it. If we could get this labeled in our own country, maybe the consumers would say no. If the consumers in our own country said no to GMOs, there will probably never be a GMO wheat. And we'll keep our markets, we'll stay in business. So hence our second petition was born, which was just a petition of sentiment. And we began circulating that the same way. But out of that came the political initiative, 522.
Okay. And Karen and Trudy have both been shaking their heads. But Karen, I want to come to you and have you weigh in.
Well, I want to say that there's another issue with GMO foods is that the antibiotic resistance and the marker. And so healthcare providers are very concerned. We're very concerned about antibiotic resistance in our environment right now anyway. And this just adds to it. And I also wanted to say that there are big, huge healthcare associations nationally and locally that support this. The American Nursing Association came out in favor of labeling. The American Public Health Association came out in favor of labeling. The American Medical Association came out in favor of safety testing. There are a slew of organizations, Healthcare Without Harm, which is a national organization, our State Nursing Association. There are many, many healthcare providers in Washington State and nationally that are pushing for this because we have the right to know what we're eating. It's food security. It's our national security. We have the right to know what we're eating.
Yeah, I was going to say to what Tom was saying and to what Karen's saying that really what we're talking about is transparency. We're talking about labeling as a risk management tool to be able to retain our export markets, to be able to have traceability in the food system. It's traceability, traceability, traceability. Without labeling, we can't even know what foods to look for to see if there are problems. No one's looking, and without labeling, there's no way to trace to see if there are problems. But beyond that, it doesn't matter whether they're good or bad. It doesn't really matter. They should be labeled no matter what. They have a responsibility to label these, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent.
And I know you said that there seems to be obviously there's obviously widespread support because it's going to be on the ballot in November. But you know they had it also in California and it was voted down. So how likely is Washington to pass? And will we lead the way?
We have a great team that was just hired. We have a great team for the Yes on 522 campaign. We've got the grassroots fired up. We've got more than $1 million raised so far. We've got, 6 months until Election Day. By Election Day, we're going to have questions, in our stores at least, we're going to have our customers asking us, is the sweet corn genetically engineered or not? Because genetically engineered sweet corn's on the market. So by the end of this summer, when this campaign is hitting, we may have an approval of the genetically engineered salmon, and we will have genetically engineered sweet corn on the market, on the fresh market. So there could be sweet corn, salmon coming. People are going to be wondering, right when this campaign is happening, what the heck is on my plate?
And are there any others that are coming or that are already on the marketplace? I know salmon and corn, as you just mentioned, but, I mean, are there other things that people should be looking at as they're in the market, as they're shopping, kind of to know whether or not it may be genetically modified?
The genetically engineered salmon is not yet on the market. It's recommended for approval. Mm-hmm. Right now it's going to be sweet corn, papaya, if it's not organic. If it's papaya from Hawaii, for example, then it might very likely is going to be genetically engineered. Corn and soy products and sugar, sugars that are not from sugar cane. So corn chips, soy products if they're not verified to be non-GMO. And what else did I say there? Corn chips,
you said
papaya.
Corn chips, you said papaya.
It's corn, soy, papaya, and sugar.
And sugar.
So,
yeah, you
so
said sugar.
Corn syrup and sugar in candy bars and sugar in sodas, that's very possibly a genetically engineered sugar. If it doesn't say cane sugar, it's going to be genetically engineered.
And Sonia, did you know that animals, if they have a choice, will not eat GMO food? And I have an example of this, and I bet your listeners will see this too. So I feed all my critters in the backyard. I get a 20-pound bag that has peanuts, sunflower seeds, little alfalfa pellets, and corn. And for 10 years, I've been throwing this stuff out, and they scarf everything up. I come out the next morning, and all the corn's there because they won't eat GE corn. Because if animals have a choice, they won't eat it. So
if animals have a choice, so then certain humans should have a choice, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Tom, I hear you getting a chuckle on that. What would you add?
Try to bring people up to the level of animals. Yes, that's what we're trying to do.
That's right.
Coming back to you, though, Tom, you know, from, I guess, the farming perspective and talking about the export business, you know, what is the single, you know, most important thing, or maybe not the single most important because it's all important, but what are some key things that you really think listeners need to know? And certainly here in Washington State, as people will be, you know, taking this vote up in November.
Well, you know, the listeners should ask themselves the same question that the three farmers, Lynn Polson, Joe Ludeman, myself, asked ourselves. There's no doubt now that people around the world are very upset, especially in other countries. There's 62 countries that have now imposed food labeling laws on GMOs, and then there are other countries that are banning countries, just outright bans, no GMOs allowed in the country. So we ask ourselves, why? Why are the foreigners so opposed to this? And once we asked ourselves why, we began doing some reading. And so what we found is that peer-reviewed independent research in other countries show health problems with GMOs. I'm going to name four right now. Okay, the Eric Seralini study from the University of KN, and I might not be pronouncing that right, KN in France, was just published last September 2012 in the peer-reviewed journal, Food and Chemical Toxicology. They show a very strong link with cancer. In other words, the control group of rats did not get cancer. All of the rats, the other groups that were fed either Roundup-ready corn or some Roundup in their water at various levels or Roundup-ready corn and the Roundup that had been sprayed with Roundup, they all got cancer at much, much higher rates than the control group. Then another one, it's an older study, but one of the best ever done. It's by Stanley Ewan and Arpad Pusthai from England. And it was published in the British medical journal, The Lancet, in October 1999. And their research showed that genetically modified potatoes caused a stomach and intestinal growths in rats, precancerous lesions, basically. Then another study is Velimirov, Ginter, and Zentek. This is from Austria. It is from a report by the Austrian Federal Ministry of Health in November 2008, and they found in a continuous feeding and breeding trial of rats fed, again, Roundup-ready corn, that after a third generation of litters, that the rats were becoming sterile, that they could no longer produce. And this was not true with the control groups. And a fourth one, which is extremely disturbing, is this study from South America, Paginelli, Carrasco et al., and three other doctors, five doctors, medical doctors, from the University of Buenos Aires Medical School in Argentina. And it's published in Chemical Research and Toxicology, October 2010. Roundup, even in very small amounts, is linked to birth defects. And see, there's way more Roundup on these Roundup-ready crops, these GMO crops. And by birth defects, I don't just mean a wart on the end of your nose kind of birth defect. They were having reports from Roundup-ready soy country, where Roundup's being sprayed a lot, of microcephaly and anencephaly. Microcephaly is a cretinism sunken head and retardation, and anencephaly means the brain of the baby is not fully formed, and the baby dies, is either stillborn or dies within a day afterwards. Extremely serious birth defects. What they found is if you take Roundup and you add only 100th, 100 times less the normal spraying dose in agriculture, and you apply it to frog embryos and chicken embryos, they will develop the very same birth defects that were showing up. I mean, that's peer-reviewed. That is dynamite, and yet the major news media have not picked this up. The industry tries to hide from this, and, when we read these things, we said, hey, the foreigners are right. Nobody should be eating this. Nobody should be growing this. At the very minimum, people have the right to know what it is so they can avoid it. So, the most important thing is not my farm, whether it survives. The most important thing is whether the human race avoids being poisoned by GMOs.
Thank you so much, Tom and Karen.
I was just agreeing. I was going, rah, rah, rah. So why is this okay? So why is it okay for us to eat this food? And why is it okay to not have it labeled? It just seems absurd to me with all the studies that Tom was just talking about. And Tom, thank you very much for bringing those studies up. It shows the health effects. It shows the impact. We need to have this stuff labeled so we know what to eat.
Well, voters will get their chance come November. Initiative I-522 will be on the ballot, and we will certainly be following the results of that. Thank you all for being here today and discussing it. Tom Stahl, thank you so much for joining us from Waterville, Washington, and taking some time off the tractor. The ladies are clapping in here. Trudy and Karen are clapping for you. And also, thank you, Environmental Health Specialist for Washington State Nurses Association, Karen Bowman, for coming in today, as well as Director of Public Affairs at PCC Natural Markets, Trudy by Alec. Thank you all for having this important discussion, and definitely we will follow the results of November, and hopefully we won't have to come back in and have a second discussion, right?
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. This is Music and Ideas, and we're going to take a little bit of a music break.